Not what I thought it was going to be. It's the news. Go to me. Good Friday morning. This is not a live broadcast, by the way. And I am not at the International Worldwide Universal Solar System headquarters of the news, according to me, this morning. But the cat is here. Things have changed this morning. I really hadn't expected on things changing the way they did. I had a breakfast appointment this morning that I did not realize was going to happen. I thought it was going to happen tomorrow. The wife got up early. So since she got up early, she says, well, why don't we just go to breakfast today? Okay. She's by, and I'm not going to wait on that opportunity. Because you never know when that's going to happen again. So we went to breakfast. It's good breakfast. I had pancakes, eggs with cheese, sausage, bacon, orange juice. And I'm still sipping on my chai that I made this morning before I left. Of course, what's exciting, the most exciting part about the cup thing now, the cup saga. I know that's what everybody really tunes in for that. They just want to know what's in my cup and then they stop listening. So I have my chai that I'm going to have for a long time because I got 8 gallon sized jugs of this stuff. And that's in powderized condensed form. So each of those make, 25 cups or whatever it is. So yeah, I've got enough to make it for a long time. Of course, I'll probably discontinue it before I run out of it. I'll have to find another supplier. I'll have to stay ahead of that game. The most exciting part of the cup thing has been my backup cup. Because it's a wild card. You never know what's going to be in that backup cup now. Used to be that I would change up the major cup, the main cup, but I kind of settled in this rut on the main. You guys know what I'm talking about. So, by the way, this is the welcome to the news according to me. This is the Friday show where we have. I'm trying to pull up a. Normally, this show on Friday, I try to keep it live. However, this is not going to happen this morning because of other circumstances. It's just kind of extenuating. Had some issues with the dog and that kind of thing this morning as well, but I'm not going to get into that. We have, in the backup cup this morning, we went on a date last night. Of course, this is our vacation, so we have to do something. When you get older, you just don't do much. Let's go out to eat somewhere. So we went out to this fancy place called Olive Garden. So it's quasi neo-Italian food. Olive Garden. We had, I had the seafood fettuccine, and I kid you not, I have ordered seafood fettuccine from a lot of our Olive Gardens. Now, I don't know if this has just changed in the last month. It's been a while since I've been to Olive Garden because typically I don't go with my wife because she has some food issues. And she can't eat. There's not a whole lot at Olive Garden she can eat because she's, can't have gluten and all that stuff. And so she has to be very careful where she goes to eat. And we thought about going to Texas Roadhouse because you guys eat steak and stuff. So we were going to do that. And then, of course, I always get the salmon. I like their grilled salmon there. I'm kind of into the salmon thing. But decided not to go there. It's usually really busy. Olive Garden was not busy last night, so we kind of got in there just at the right time, I think. And we waited like 10 minutes. We even put our name on the list before we got there, and we still had to wait 10 minutes. But it was not like waiting 40 minutes for... Anyway, so we get in there, and we get our food. I noticed there for about a month ago, over the past 6 months, the portion sizes had gotten smaller. I could eat, I would sit down to eat fettuccine, seafood fettuccine, and I'd eat the whole thing. It wasn't that way before. I always remember walking away with about half my meal in a to-go box because I just couldn't eat it all. I kid you not, last night I felt like I had a double portion of this stuff. There was more shrimp, and the plate was huge, but the noodles filled up the plate. And it just seemed like there was like twice as many shrimp in that thing. There's supposed to be scallops in there somewhere. I never saw any scallops. So I don't know. I don't know if things have, I know the prices have gone up. But I think part of what has happened now with the prices going up with some things is because the market has, they've tried to keep the prices down because they wanted to be competitive. I think, but now everybody's raised their prices. So if we walked out of there, it was $50. Now, we used to walk out of a two-person dinner at Olive Garden for less than $40, and that was with the tip. Last night, it was $50 plus the tip. So I'm pretty sure. Now, I remember the day when they used to have two for 20s. $20, you could buy two meals. Of course, then drinks on top of that, so it was usually $30. It's twice that now, almost. And you got Joe Biden. I'm going to try to pull up this audio of him. It's quite amazing the way CNN has been confronting him, even though they still have pundits on their show that are just completely in the tank for Joe Biden. I think he's just the greatest thing in the world. Anybody who testifies against Trump is just the greatest person in the world, even though everybody else in the legal world, even Jeffrey, I hate seeing the guy's name, Tubin, who has now been rehired at CNN as their legal analyst. You can't find anybody better than this. This is like having Michael Cohen, who's continuing to be just taken apart by legal. Anytime he sits on a stand, he takes himself apart. He just, no, I lied about lying, and now I'm lying about lying about lying, and I'm going to keep on lying because I don't know what the truth is. I'm a kleptomaniac who is a chronic liar. I can't stop lying. I steal everything I can. The guy's a freak. And yet he's one of their top. He keeps coming on their show and keeps saying, "Oh, Donald Trump's going to lose. He's going to be in jail any minute now." He's been saying that for like 2 years, two or 3 years. Because he says it, that's why they like him on the show. He feeds into their narrative. He's a lawyer and he's saying that. So we got to hire that guy. We got to have that guy on our show. That's all he says. And it's just, you got these guys. And of course, Kellyanne Conway's husband, ex-husband, same way. Constantly feeding the man, they feed what they want to hear that Trump's going down. He's going to go to prison. He's a criminal. He's a monster. Going to prison. That's all you hear. And they just keep going with this stuff. Just blows my mind. And yet these people have no credibility. It never happens. Walls are closing in. How many years have we heard that the walls are closing in on Trump? And they got nothing on the guy except that he talks about his cases. Oh, you can't say that. We're going to throw you in prison if you keep saying your cases are bogus. What? That's the whole nature of a bogus case. If you don't have a case, if you don't have a rock solid case, then why do you care whether it's just, I tell you, I'd let the guy, if I knew I had the guy and he was going to prison, I wouldn't care what he said about it. But who cares about what public opinion is? See, that's the whole thing is about public opinion. This whole thing about politics. They're all concerned that these cases will not be, that nobody's going to get him. Of course, now it's what has basically fallen apart on all these cases is that there's no way any of them are going to be completed before the election, except for the Stormy Daniels case. So they're hanging everything on the Stormy Daniels case, and it is falling. It is a wretched case. It is a ridiculous case. part of the problem here is that when she took him to court, she lost. It was thrown out as a frivolous lawsuit, and she was ordered to pay all of Donald Trump's lawyer fees, which is hundreds of thousands of dollars. They were trying to use the lawyer fees to bankrupt Trump. Well, that one backfired, and now Stormy Daniels, who will never pay she doesn't have hundreds of thousands of dollars, unless they pay her enough for this documentary, which is highly unethical. Like I was talking about yesterday, this whole book deal, when they had the book deal, the documentary, the whole thing that's going on, they pay people for that, and it's a way to launder money. So they are at, so she's, the Trump hush money trial is now turning into the hush money that's being paid behind the scenes to go get Trump. It's not about Trump's hush money. And it's questionable whether the thing even existed at all. It was just, the whole thing is just such a, so she's suing him now, and there's some kind of case. I think it's just a civil trial. She's losing miserably. This thing is not going well at all. And it amazes me that they continue to hang all their hopes on this trial, bringing Trump down before the election. And they're hoping to get him in prison. And this judge is threatening to put him in prison because he keeps talking about the trial, which he's not supposed to do, which is ridiculous. Who does that? Can't talk about the trial. Why is there, are you being threatened by somebody? And that is their whole thing. Their claim is that, well, your followers, your radical crazy people will come out. You're going to incite them to come and hurt the jury or the witnesses or the judge or the people. Really? Well, you're doing that to yourself by gagging him. That makes me more mad than just letting him talk. His rhetoric doesn't stir anything up. Your fact that you're taking away someone's civil rights disturbs me more than anything. Still doesn't provoke me to violence. So now I was going down this route because of what's going on CNN. Now CNN's realizing, and this is where we're getting at that turning point. And I think that the powers that be, which are the unholy trinity of the deep state, you have the media, you have the DNC, which is a committee in and of itself that's closely aligned with all this stuff. You have the media, and then you have the deep state. So you have the powers that be in the unelected officials in the administrative state, which is that's what I call the deep state. So you have the DOJ. What kind of concerns me most sometimes about this whole situation. By the way, I never said what I actually have in my backup cup, I don't think. I have the Bellini peach raspberry sweet tea, by the way. Okay, now you can hang up. All the people waiting for me to finish up what I have in my backup cup, they've never heard. What bothers me about this whole situation with this, think about this. There are people in our judicial system who have such a lack of integrity that they're willing to allow a political opponent to become the target of their entire existence. They lack the integrity to even just, or the respect for the law. They feel like they're doing their civil duty. They're on a mission to get Trump. They're going to save the country. No, by saving the country, what you're doing is you're actually destroying the law. The law was not intended to go after any particular one individual. It was designed to protect the individuals from people. Trump hasn't hurt anybody. Yeah, that's what they're going after. But there are people in our judicial system who are so radicalized, so activized. That's a word. We have these activist judges, activist attorney generals, who run on the idea that they're going after a political opponent. Letitia James. Going after Donald Trump. She ran on that. That was part of her platform. I'm going to go after Donald Trump.
Will you sue him for us?
Oh, I'm going to get him. These are the people that have no business being in their position. They're using people's hatred. They're running on hatred, really, is what they're running on. And yet they wonder why they keep falling on their faces in the middle of all this stuff. This is the kind, you know, I work around people that occasionally I'll especially when I was doing more, a little bit more of a different kind of a role, the previous company I was working with. And I was involved in a lot of training in that. Well, it's still, one of the things that, let me just say it this way. I've been involved in a lot of training in a particular industry. Many different industries, but this particular industry, a lot of experience at. And I have noticed that there are certain individuals who will become very negative very quickly. Now, I can become very frustrated and because the reality of a situation, the realistic situation, sometimes you just have to spell it out for what it is. Sometimes that just being positive for positive's sake does not necessarily help a situation. I have to deal in Realville. Because you just don't live in, you don't live in the abstract. When you're flying an airplane and your nose is, you know, you're upside down, you're flat back, you know, you're in a spin, flat spin, upside down, inverted flat spin, they call it. I've been in one, in an airplane. That is a very bad situation unless you know what you're doing. I'll say, unless the airplane is equipped for it. You are in a situation that has about a 96% chance of failure. Something's going to fly off the airplane. And you're not going to be able to recover before you hit the ground, depending on how high you are. If you're too high, you won't recover. If you're too low, you won't recover in time. The craziness of this, but you have to be realistic in that situation. You can't just sit there and say, well, we're in a positive situation. No, you stay focused. You realize the severity of the situation. Everything compounds immediately when you say, okay, look, you know, you recognize that you're in a bad situation, but dwelling on the bad situation is not going to get you out of it. You need to focus on what is in front of you to do at that moment. Stay concentrated on that at that moment. Don't sit around and complain about it. That's not going to, I don't know of anybody who's been in a bad situation who survived it and came out and said, oh, I'm so glad I panicked. Panic saved my life. Oh, I'm so glad I was complaining. If I wouldn't have been complaining and had a negative attitude, I would never have made it out of that situation. You'll never see somebody. I've never heard anyone say that. Panic is not your friend. So when I hear people, and I've been in situations like this where I've seen people just go jump right to the negative. We'll have even just in a simple thing where, you know, a mechanical thing will break down in an office. We're in an office situation. The trainee is pacing around saying, oh, this thing's a piece of crap, blah, 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 blah. I had a situation where I was trying to fix something one time. We're in a training situation and we had to stop the training for a minute. I was trying to reset some things. And the student was pacing around behind me. This thing's just a toy. This thing doesn't work. Blah, blah, blah. I kept on going. This thing, blah, 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 blah. This went on for about 5 minutes, and I finally said, you know what? This is a good learning moment for all of us here. So what you're doing right now, you've been doing for the last 5 minutes, how is it helping the situation? What are you doing right now to help the situation? Everything that you're saying is distracting. It's annoying. It's doing nothing for anybody else around you, especially your training partner. It's bringing everybody down. So I can sit here and argue with you about the alternatives to using this particular training device. And believe me, this is the best option we've got. So we can work with this and we can try to fix the problem, and you can say something that might be positive and help the situation. Or you can continue to drag everybody down. And in this particular situation, the only reason I confronted the guy was because he was actually in an upgrading situation where he was going to be a leader in the organization. And I did not see it beneficial at all for a leader in that situation to have that kind of an attitude. That spreads like wildfire, by the way, folks. If you've ever worked around anybody like that for a day, you will be done with that day, especially, now think about for every day, for a week. You're in a situation where you're working with someone like that. You will be wiped out at the end of every day, and at the end of that week, you'll want a week off because it just wears you down. It wears you down and wears you out. I guarantee you, you will be extremely tired by the end of all that. So, having said all of that, I'm still looking for this audio file. The interesting, I apologize. If you can hear my dog in the background, I'm sorry. The dog just has these barking fits. I'm not sure what's going on with him. He just barks for no reason at all. Not a single reason. He's just complaining for no reason. I've sat down and had a talk with him about it. But this attitude thing is ridiculous. And these people are motivated by this hate. I wonder what that is. Let me get rid of that. Go there. There we go. I can find this in just a heartbeat here. So interestingly enough, you know, they're I think that CNN, what's happening now is the media is kind of the last to know in the situation of what's going on. They're basically just puppets. They're the last link in the chain between the theater. They're the presentation stage, basically, is what they are. And then you have all these other, you know, you have the DNC, who is kind of in the middle of everything. Of course, they're kind of manipulated by the deep state. Realistically, the deep state kind of makes the decisions. The DNC is led to believe they're making decisions. They're really not. They are so pushed by the deep state, the administrative state powers that be. Now, I want to talk about this. This is kind of interesting. Aaron Burnett is, what's interesting is Aaron Burnett is on CNN, and she has this interesting little one-on-one interview with Biden. And I'll try to play, this is courtesy of Liberal Hive Mind. And she ends up asking him his questions, and she goes into this whole thing about how, the economy and where everything's at, the reality of the numbers. And he's looking at her like his jaw is almost ready to hit the floor. And he's looking at her like, why are you asking me these questions? I don't know. Maybe this is one of those situations where they didn't give him the questions beforehand because he looks stunned by this. He looks absolutely shocked. If you can see the look on his face, it's just this, what are you doing to me? He looks horrified that someone would have the gall to say this stuff. And yet she pushes back. And the other day they pushed back on Nancy Pelosi about something. And of course that turned out to, you know, we saw the vitriol come out of nothing but love Nancy Pelosi. I have nothing but love in my heart. I'm a perfect Catholic. Don't question my faith. Kill the babies. This is, you know, the kind of people we're dealing with here. So he pushes back on this whole thing. So, but the economy's not that bad. It's off. The market price is blah, 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 blah. I don't know how heavily edited this thing is. I'm sure it's pretty heavily edited. Because the first time he probably answered the question, he probably sounded more like, somebody asked in the press, and I'm fucking sticking my buttons were wiping. I'm rising. Who knows what he said? I don't know. Let's try that again, Mr. President. Let's try it again. Take five. So we have interesting situation here where CNN is now starting to push back on this guy. They're realizing he's a losing candidate and they don't want to lose this election. They don't want to see Donald Trump become the president again, even though that helps their ratings. So they got that, you know, they're kind of thinking in the background, they're thinking, well, it won't be so bad for our ratings. Gives us a target for the next 4 years. Trump is making great strides in demographics where Joe Biden cleaned house last time in the 2020 election. He's more than doubled his support from the, quote, black community, from Hispanics, from all kinds of minorities, and from people under the age of 30. This is where they're really scared. They are really scared. I think this is why they're allowing in all these illegal immigrants to come in, and they're planning on getting votes. Millions of them, tens of millions, coming across the border, and they're just planning on trying to push the voter. They're going to ballot harvest. They already made ballot harvesting legal in many states now. Now, fortunately, they're pushing, the GOP is now pushing an effort to do their own ballot harvest in the states where it's legal. They're okay. We're going to do, if it's going to be legal, then we're going to do it too. Now the problem is they're harvesting ballots from, you know, the Democrats are harvesting ballots from graveyards. They have actually pushed back on people. The people have gone in. There are organizations that go into different states and they look at the ballot, registered voters list, and they want to remove. There's tens of thousands of people that are on the registered voter list who are no longer living or no longer live in that state anymore. And they want to have them removed. We've done an audit and want to have all this removed. Oh, no, we're not going to allow that. That's racist. Excuse me? How many of these people are still voting in this state? We can't divulge that. Now you're getting in. We can't divulge that. That's been redacted. Sorry. You can't know that kind of information. That's getting too personal with people. Do dead people really care about that? I think people are more concerned about having a fair election that's actually true. There are people out there that just want to win no matter what. But I think if they found out that they won illegitimately, I think the vast majority of people, maybe over 50% of the people would be upset if they found out, well, we won and we actually cheated, but we won. Oh, yeah, okay. So, well, I guess it's over with. You know, they wouldn't do so much as wanted to go back and change anything about that. They wouldn't be happy about it. It would last about 5 minutes and they'd be on their way. So I want to play this little thing with Erin. What's her name? Erin Burnett.
Of course, it is by far the most important issue for voters. It's also true right now, Mr. President, that voters by a wide margin trust Trump more on the economy. They say that in polls. And
this is
part
Erin
of the reason
Burnett.
For that may be the numbers. And you're aware of many of these, of course. The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly costs from before the pandemic. Real income.
Now, you notice she's asking these questions very nicely. She's not being mean. She's not being... This is nothing like what how they would be treating Trump if he was in this position. They'd be very
when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took
the
office.
The look on his
economic
face is just,
growth last
what are you
far
saying?
Short of expectations. Consumer confidence, maybe no surprise, is near
he's just
a
staring at her
low.
Like, why are you asking me
with
this question?
Less than 6 months to go to Election Day, are you worried that you're running out of time to turn that around?
We've already turned it around. Look
we've already turned it around.
Michigan survey. 65% of American 65%. People think they're in good shape economically. They think the nation's not in good shape.
65% of the American people think that they're in good shape. 65% of American people think they're in good shape. The country's not, but they think they're in good shape. That means 35% of the people do not think they're in good shape. That's not good odds. Folks, even 65%. This should be closer to like 90%. 65% is not a good situation. Just what? Because more than 50% think they're in a good situation? Let's keep on going.
They're personally in good shape. The polling data has been wrong all along.
Polling data is wrong all along. Polling data has been wrong all along.
How many you guys do a poll with CNN? How many folks you have to call to get one response?
Erin is looking. they shoot to a shot where they've got the back of Biden's head, his bald head there, and they've got Erin looking at him, and she's looking through these. Talk about the hairy eyeball. She is squinting, looking back at him like, "What are you saying to me? What are you trying to tell me? You're telling me that what I've said is not true, and what you're saying basically is that you're just not going to believe it." That's really what she's saying. That's what they're
the
saying.
The idea that we're in a situation where things are so bad. We've created more jobs. We're in a situation where people have access to good-paying jobs.
See, this is where he's... They keep telling themselves this, and they... We've created more jobs. No, because you laid everybody off. You didn't create jobs. When you shut down 9 million jobs and then you bring back, or say actually more than that, I think they shut down like 25 million jobs. They brought back 9 million jobs. We created 9 million jobs. No, you didn't. You just let everybody go back to work. You tampered with the entire economy. Just having to be in place when everything came back. And now you're claiming victory for that. It's ridiculous.
And the last I saw, the combination of the inflation, the cost of inflation, all those things, that's really worrisome to people with good reason. That's why I'm working very hard to bring the cost of rentals down, to increase the number of homes that are available. But let me say it this way.
And how do you exactly do that as president? How do you bring the cost of living, the cost of homes down when you're allowing more people to come across the border? Now you've got more of a housing shortage. See, more people means more houses. People have to be housed. This just exacerbates the housing shortage. This guy has no understanding at all of basic, fundamental, foundational economics. None. I mean, I could, a fourth grader, you could give them four basic principles on economics, and they could definitely just gets run circles around this guy.
When I started this administration, people were saying there's going to be a collapse of the economy. We have the strongest economy in...
Now listen to this. This is really interesting how he says this.
When I started this administration, people were saying there's going to be a collapse of the economy. We have the strongest economy in the world. Let me say it again. In the world.
In the world. Let me say it again. In the world. In the world. Duh. I should put that on a sound card. Duh. And then she comes back. She actually pushes back and fact checks the guy.
Let me say it again. In the world.
Although GDP last week was far short of expectations.
Oh, it wasn't. Look, GDP is still growing. Look at the response to the markets. Overwhelmingly positive.
Look at the response.
Overwhelmingly positive. And one of the reasons why people feel good about it not being as strong as it was before is they believe that the Fed's going to respond.
They hope they're going to get a rate cut.
Yeah. Well, so, but I mean, no president's had the run we've had in terms of creating jobs and bringing down inflation. It was 9% when I came to office. 9%. But look, people have a right to be concerned. Ordinary people, the idea that you bounce a check and you get a $30 fee for bouncing the check. I changed that. You can't charge more than $8.
Well, look what I did. I changed it. I changed it from being a $30 fee to an $8 fee for bouncing a check. Actually, he didn't change that. Congress changed that. However, what? What's that? And he talks about corporate greed. And he goes on to talk about corporate greed here.
Or your credit card, you know, your late payment, $35. I mean, there's corporate greed going on out there. And
this is just like this is no different. This is, of course, this is an election year. He's making all these things. So now you can bounce your check when you make your payment to your late credit card. And you don't get charged as much. What? Wouldn't it be better to say, I've created an economy where people don't bounce checks anymore because they have the money to pay their bills. They're not scraping bottom every time. They're not living paycheck to paycheck and trying to float checks, hoping that they get their money by Friday. Hoping the check doesn't clear until their check comes in. They don't have to go to the cash, whatever they call those places, the little places where you go in and get your payday loans or whatever they call them. Look how wonderful. He's just doing a wonderful job here.
It's got to be dealt with.
Wow.
So... I was actually surprised at the interview. Maybe Aaron's trying to look for it. Maybe she's hoping to get a job at Fox. I don't know. But even then, I don't know that Fox would even be that upfront necessarily. But the look on his face is just priceless. So we have the media starting to get concerned. Because they see this guy losing. They don't see a plan for this guy to win. They're like, there's no way this guy wins. Now, this will set the wheels in motion. People behind the scenes are scrambling, screaming, crying, and they've even been caught a few times. Joy Reid was caught on a hot mic a month ago. Getting us into more Evan Wars. Which brings me down to this little part about the pause that I want to talk about. I wanted to talk about it yesterday. I said something about it at the intro. I said something about pause at the intro. Never got into it because I wanted to find out a little bit more about what was really going on here. But before I talk about it, I just want to get on the basics of this whole thing and how they're doing this. This is, again, always take a step back. What looks like is it's this bombshell thing that happens or whatever happens that they're making some kind of statement. And, oh, it's a controversial thing. And, oh, the president stepped in at this time. Keep in mind that 99% of what you're watching is political theater. You're only seeing what they want you to see. So here's what happened. Apparently what we're finding out now is Joe Biden supposedly withheld a shipment of bombs to Israel. Rafah is a community in Gaza, apparently. I don't know that much about the geopolitical situation in Gaza. I'm not sure exactly where all the towns are. I don't know how everything's laid out. I have no idea. Maybe I should study that a little bit. But apparently this Rafah campaign that they're planning on doing in wherever it is that Israel is planning on doing. Supposedly, we've paused a shipment of bombs. Bombs or missiles, I don't know, some kind of armament to Israel. And they're making a big deal about this in the news. Now, the reason they're making a big deal about it is because the radical leftists, the pro-Hamas demonstrations that are going on, they aren't just anti-Jew, they aren't just anti-Israel, they're pro-Hamas, that are going on over on all campuses here in the country. This one lady's going on a hunger strike. And the guy goes, no, this is not a meme. They're showing her she's on a hunger strike. She's on this one campus. This isn't a meme. I don't want to be mean about it. But it looks like this lady could last several months. And it was just, yeah, she's got some reserve stored up. Let's just say that. And I guarantee you, that kind of person with their blood sugar issues, they're not going to be able to go a week. They're eating in the background. A hunger strike won't last. And even if you have a hunger strike to the point where you die, it's not going to make a difference. Israel's not going to go, that's your problem. You stopped eating? Okay, well, we have to protect ourselves. We're in a fight for our existence here. Now, is Israel, everything Israel's doing, just blessed by God? I don't know. I don't know that. I see a difference between the state of Israel and the people, his chosen people, the people of God, the Jewish people, the Jewish faith. I see a difference between those two things. At the same time, I believe that Israel, and there are people who say, the Jews aren't God's chosen people anymore. It's Christians that are his chosen people because they rejected him. He has never broken his covenant with Jacob. They may not be worshiping the God they think they are. If they were accepting of God, they would accept his son. And they have not accepted his son. So who are they serving? Who are they worshiping? I have questions about that. And I think God kind of gave me a revelation on that a while back. And really, I was really struggling with this because of all the turmoil and the contrast of everything that was going on. And there was a time when Moses went up the hill, up the mountain, received the Ten Commandments. By the way, the law, who is the law incarnate? The law is the Word. He went up the hill, went up the mountain, came back down, And Moses threw the tablets down and broke them when he saw what the people were doing. People who were living in sin, worshiping another god. In the first coming of the law, of the tablets, they were broken. In the second coming, when he went up the hill again and came back down with the tablets again, they were restored. They were worshiping another god. They were worshiping this golden calf. It supposedly rose up out of the fire. Were they still God's people? They were, but they were worshiping another god. We're seeing a mirrored image of this today, I believe. Now, that's my little sermon for the day. A little sermonette snippapoo. That tea's good. I'm all out of chai. The last slurp has been slurpaged. This pause thing that Joe Biden put into effect. First, let me just ask you this question. Do you think that Israel is so low on bombs that they're not going to be able to go after Rafah unless we provide them with the bombs to do so? They're just sitting there with an empty warehouse. Well, I guess we can't bomb Rafah today because the U.S. hasn't sent us any bombs. I guarantee you they've got plenty of bombs to go after Rafah. That's not going to slow them down one bit. Now, they always have a stockpile. They always have a reserve because if war does break out at any minute, they've got to be prepared. They've got to have a stockpile. They've got to have a backup. They have their emergency fund. This is replacements. This is restocking. They've got what they need. This isn't going to slow down anything. This is a political move to make Joe Biden look like he's being tough on Israel so that he can win over some of these people who are the independents going, yeah, maybe we should. Why are we just supporting them blindly? Like, look, he's slowing things down. Oh, look, he's being tough with Israel now. And then Lindsey Graham, yeah, I think it was yesterday, comes out, squirms in his seat, does his little thing. Oh, you're betraying our ally. This is betrayal. Makes a big deal, gets his name in the papers again. Let's see, who gives to your campaign there? Mr. Graham, who gives your... So do you ever have any conversations with the lobbyists over there? Wonder who you've been talking to. And I'm not saying that I have a problem with people being supportive of Israel. I don't have a problem with that. The problem is you're using our money to fund them without asking us about it. And it just seems a little bit underhanded way they're going about all this stuff. Needless to say. So, in light of all this going on in the world, I just, this whole idea that there is some kind of pause happening in the shipment, the delay of this. Now, as you recall, there was a pause in funding being sent to Ukraine at one point. This is before the war, when Donald Trump was president, because he was asking for an investigation to be done of a very dirty politician at the time. Now, where did all that go? Now, where's that investigation gone? But the but the but the but the but the but the but the, but the, but the, but the we had this issue going on with the president because he asked for that. He actually stopped the funding to Ukraine. He withheld funding because of his political opponents, blah, 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 blah. And now we see this happening for political gain. President steps in and puts a pause on it. And it's been confirmed now. It's been confirmed. There's a pause. Oh, that's going to stop them dead in their tracks. They're not going to go after Rafah now because they don't have any bombs. They're all out of bombs. They're just depending on if we don't give them any bombs, they won't have any bombs. How ridiculous do they think we are? It's such a farce, and yet it plays well in public theater. I guarantee you, Rafah will go on. That's all I have to say about that. As we go into the weekend, next week, Monday, there will be a show, as far as I know. There will be a show next Monday. However, the rest of the week is all up in the air. I have no idea. I will, for the most part, be living on my boat next week. So if there will be a show, I'm going to set this off to figure out exactly how easy it's going to be for me to actually do anything. The Wi-Fi there at the marina is not that great. Now, if I happen to be on a trip somewhere, if I do get some kind of travel arrangements, end up in a hotel somewhere, that might make a difference, but I can't guarantee anything at this point. So next week, I know you've enjoyed the shows every day. It looks like the statistics are back up very steady again, which is not kind of nice. That may change next week. So just Shabbat Shalom. Have a great weekend. So glad I was able to talk to you every day this week, and have a blessed weekend. Pray for our nation.